you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the 112th Psalm. Psalm 112, I would like to read the first seven verses. Psalm 112, verses 1 through 7. I encourage you to look in the Word of God, Psalm 112, verses 1 through 7. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy Word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, and especially the privilege of not only knowing that you're the sovereign God of heaven and earth, but you're our Heavenly Father. And we find great peace and joy and comfort in knowing that we have a Father that is eternal and that is perfect and righteous and holy and pure, and one that is able to help us in all of our troubles and problems in life. We're thankful that thou hast promised that thou would never leave us nor forsake us. And we're thankful that amidst the troubles and problems of life, that though many others may forsake, the Lord will never forsake. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can have comfort and peace in having, as we sang tonight, what a friend we have in Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to realize that no matter what our troubles and problems are, that we can come to thee, that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and we can commune with thee as friend with friend. Lord, we thank you for saving us from our sins. We thank you for removing our sins from us. We thank you for remembering our sins no more. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be able to be a part of thy church and thy kingdom in the earth. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, to realize what a great privilege and blessing it is, even as Sister Sherry has said tonight. Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you for establishing thy church in the earth. We thank you for blessing us to be able to read and study thy holy word. Thank you for having brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to come together and worship together, to be able to help each other when we have troubles and problems. We do beg you, Lord, to bless all those who stand in special need. You've heard the audible as well as the silent prayers and petitions that have been made. And we ask thee, Lord, to bless all those who stand in great need of thy help. You know the particular burdens of every person here, many that have not even expressed their own burden. But we ask you, Lord, to be with them and help them and help us to know how to help each other. We do beg you now to bless us as we try to study thy holy word. Teach us and instruct us and help us that we might realize the truth that's contained in thy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Psalm 112, I'd like to read the first seven verses. The Word of God says in Psalm 112, beginning in verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." A lot of beautiful expressions in those seven verses. There's one particular expression that's on my heart tonight, and that's found in the fourth verse. Look back at verse 4. The Word of God says, "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness." That's the main thought that's on my heart. First of all, I want you to understand that it's not that light will come to everybody in times of darkness. That's not what it says. It says, unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. Now, what does it mean to be upright? Just somebody tell me, in your own words, what do you think it means, this word upright? What does it mean to you? What do you think the Bible means And it talks all through the Old and New Testament about those that are upright. What does that mean? Okay, following God, those who are righteous. All right, keeping the commandments of God. Anyone else? Okay, those who live right by the Word of God. Those that are walking uprightly. Those that are trying to keep the commandments of God. The concordance says it's those that are just and those that are righteous and those that are obeying God. Those are the upright. In other words, if you want to experience what this and many other scriptures talk about, there are bountiful blessings that God gives to the upright. Now, if you want those blessings, you have to live the way the Word of God describes in order to be called and recognized by God as one that is upright. And the one main blessing that I want us to think about tonight is unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. Now, darkness, usually in the Bible, darkness represents times of trouble, times of sorrow, times of pain. Sometimes we use the expression that we're going through very dark times in our lives right now. That is, when somebody says that they're going through very dark times, you know that they are either are suffering the loss of a loved one or they're having other kinds of troubles and problems. They may be having family trouble. There may be trouble at work. There may be any other kinds of problems. But when somebody says they're going through dark times, you know they're talking about having trouble. Now, has God promised that if you live uprightly, you will not have dark times? Has God promised that? Certainly not. I think that's a false theology that many people are hearing today, is if you'll just walk down the aisle and if you'll serve God and you'll live right, you won't have any troubles. That is not the truth of God's Word. If you live uprightly, you will have trouble. If you live ungodly, you will have trouble. But the difference is that the upright will be given light in the midst of their darkness. When you live in a right way, and by the way, that light, what do you think is the source of that light? All right, God and Jesus. Jesus will be with you in your darkness unto the upright. God is declaring this. Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. Now I pray that God will help us to just think about, first of all, the fact that we will have dark times in our life. We're going to have trouble in our lives. Job, I think, as much as anybody in the Word of God, Job had trouble. Do you remember what the very first verse in the book of Job says about Job? There was a man in the land of Uz that was upright. That's the first thing the Word of God says about him. He was upright. Now, did he have darkness? Yes, he did. And in Job 14:1, here's what Job says. Job says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Now, are you going to have darkness in your life? Or are you going to have trouble? Are you going to have trouble even when you try to serve God? Will you have dark times and will you have trouble? Will the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow? Will you have all kinds of storms in your life? You will have those storms and things will get dark. But what's the difference? Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, brethren, when they were about to be cast into that burning, fiery furnace, that was a dark time in their life. I know that we can look back and say, well, there was nothing to fear because Jesus was going to be with them and deliver them out of that burning, fiery furnace. They did not know when they were about to be cast into that burning, fiery furnace, they did not know that God was going to spare them from burning. They were willing to die. They were willing to be burned because of their love for God. They were upright. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three Hebrew children that were upright, feared God, served God, loved God, and obeyed God. Did they have darkness? Yes, they had darkness. And then when they were put into that burning, fiery furnace, do you remember what the king said when he looked down into that burning, fiery furnace? He said, did not we cast three bound into this burning fiery furnace, he says, but behold, I see four, and one is like unto the Son of God. You know who the Son of God is? He's the Son of, there's something else he's called besides the Son of God. He's called the Son of Light, and he is called Light itself. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had in the midst of their darkness? You know what arose in their darkness? Light arose in their darkness. Because they were, what's the main thing that was in their lives, that the word that's being used to describe them, they were upright. They were living upright. Daniel, same book, in the book of Daniel. Daniel was a man that was upright, wasn't he? Daniel was a man that was upright. He was described as being an upright man, a man that feared God. Did Daniel have dark times? Many dark times in the book of Daniel. You can read about the darkness that he went through. One of the dark times was when he was put into the lion's den, or the den of lions. And when he was put into that den of lions, it was a dark time. But did you know there was an angel of light that was with him while he was down in that den of lions? And that angel shut up those lions' mouths and delivered Daniel, so that the next day the king knew that the God of Daniel was the true and living God. Now, brethren, light came to Daniel in the midst of his darkness. And all through the Scriptures, you'll find that this statement that's made in Psalm 112 and verse 4, that unto the upright, there ariseth light in darkness. It's a truth that we need to remember. Why? Well, I need to live in an upright way, don't I? All of us need to live in an upright way. And we need to know that there are promises that God gives to His people when they do live in an upright way. And we need to read and study the Word of God and find that God does bless His people when they are upright. Job, we mentioned him a while ago, Job. It not only, the Scripture not only says that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was upright, but do you remember when God began to talk to the devil about Job? You remember he said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that he is, guess what the next word is, that he is upright. Two times, not only in Job chapter 1 verse 8, but in Job chapter 2 and verse 3, two times this was the description that God gave of Job. Job was a man that was upright. Three times, actually, because the first verse says it, 1:8 says it, and 2:3 says it. Three times God says of Job, he was a man that was upright. Did he have trouble? Did he have darkness? He lost all of his possessions, lost all 10 of his children. He lost his health. You know what he did? And did you know that nobody except one who has light from God could have said what Job said when he lost all that he did? When Job lifted up his voice, and first of all he fell down and worshiped God, and then he lifted up his voice and said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you see light right there? Do you see the light of God that was shining in Job, and then the light of God that was shining out of Job, for Job to be able to give God the glory even in the midst of all of his trouble? Now, brethren, it takes the grace of God for somebody to do what Job did. Without a miracle, you can't praise God when you're going through trouble. But with God's help and God's strength and His Spirit and His light shining in your heart, you know what you can do even in the midst of your trouble? You can do the same thing Job did. You can give glory to God. And I thank God that He sends His light to help us in times of darkness in our lives. I thank God that we have so many examples in the Word of God of people that were in the midst of darkness, and yet the upright, unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. Now, you know that's true not only speaking of darkness in an allegorical way, but did you know literally in the Bible there are a few occasions where it was dark, literally dark? Can you tell me there are two times, don't think about the New Testament yet, but can you think of a time in the Old Testament that things were so dark It's described in two ways in the Old Testament. It says that the people could not see their hands in front of their faces. We still use that terminology when things get real dark. It said it was so dark you couldn't see the hand in front of your face. But it also says that you could, the darkness was so dark you could feel the darkness. Do you remember the time that it was that dark in the Old Testament? You remember when that was? Anybody remember? Well, I'm sure it was, Brother Wendell. Thank you. That's a time I hadn't even thought about. Oh, let's go there. That's rich. In the beginning. In the beginning. What was present in the beginning? Darkness. Nothing but darkness. There was nothing but light. But in the midst of all that darkness, the only one who could bring light. There was no light switch to turn on back there. There was no candle to light. There was no fire to light. The only light that came right then, it wasn't the light of the sun, because the sun was not created until, I believe, the fourth day. But in the very beginning of this world, when darkness covered this earth and nothing but darkness was here, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now that's the way God speaks to my heart and soul sometimes. It's just that dark in my heart and mind, and yet God will just say, "Let there be light." Have you ever had God do that for you? Just send light. Send forth, that's one of the Psalms that David says. He says, "Send forth thy light. I need your light. I'm in a dark time. I need your light." So it was dark. Thank you, Brother Wendell. That was a good one. There's another time things were real dark in the Old Testament. Okay, the plagues in Egypt. That was the one that I was thinking about specifically. Is that when the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage, do you remember that God sent forth plague after plague on Pharaoh and all the Egyptians? And one of the plagues was that God sent darkness on all the Egyptians. And you go back there and read in Exodus chapter 10, and you'll find that it was so dark, the Bible says, that none of the Egyptians would even get out of their chair or out of their bed. They would not move because there was absolutely no light there. And how God kept them from being able to light a candle, or how He kept them from being able to have any light, I don't understand all of that. But listen, God can keep people from even having physical light. And God shut them out, and Egypt was totally black. But the Scripture says about the children of Israel, His chosen people, they had light in the midst of all that other darkness. Isn't it wonderful that God's established His church in the earth? And in the midst of this dark world, God has blessed us to be a part of the light in the earth. Isn't it wonderful that you can shine forth as lights and be a light to the world? Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world." And it's a great blessing to see those lights of the children of God shining. Sometimes when I see people, in fact, when I was at Emory this past week, there were three or four different people that I saw. One was the lady as we were pulling into the parking lot. She was so friendly and sweet and kind and just a big, big, beautiful lady. And she said, "It's good to see you today." Just so happy and friendly. And I said, "Your light is shining." And that's a statement I make to people when I really see the Spirit of God radiating from them. I say, "Your light is shining." She says, "Thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you." Now, I have said it on a few occasions when somebody said, What are you talking about, my light shining?" But most of the time, God's children know what you're talking about when you tell them, "Your light is shining. I can see Jesus in you." And did you know sometimes in our lives, see now, watch this, listen carefully. Sometimes in our lives when you're going through dark seasons, you know what God will do? He'll send a person to you. And that person is the light that God sends to you during your dark hours. Have you ever had that happen? That it was a dark time and God sent somebody to you to be a light to you. What does the text say in Psalm 112 verse 4? It says, "Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness." It can be God literally, personally giving light. It can be an angel of God bringing light. It can be the Spirit of God bringing light. It can be the church of God bringing light. It can be the people of God bringing light. But God will give light to His people when they are upright. He'll give them light in the midst of their darkness. The Word of God also says this in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 21. You remember when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments? You remember what the Bible talks about, how dark it was there and the thunderings and everything that were going on. And the Bible talks about how Moses was in the, it says in Exodus 20 and 21, it says that Moses was in the thick darkness where God was. Now, think about that. That Moses was in the thick darkness where God was. Now, if you were painting a picture of that, if you were going to paint a picture of Moses being in thick darkness where God was, how would you paint that picture? What kind of picture? Would you just paint a picture of light? Or would you have a picture that was just having darkness all around it, and Moses is there, but around Moses, you see that light of God. Moses was in the thick darkness where God was. Now, God is not darkness. God cannot be darkness. 1 John chapter 1 tells us that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, how could Moses be in the thick darkness where God was? It's because though he had darkness all around him, he had God shining in his heart and mind and soul. He had peace in his heart. And that's what God gives to the upright. Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. It's a great blessing. Now that makes me want to be upright. Did you know it? There are a lot of reasons to want to be upright, aren't there? A lot of reasons to want to try to serve God. I want to serve God because of what God has already done for me. But I also know that there are a lot of blessings that come when I serve the Lord and do what's right. Just do right. Just walk uprightly and live uprightly. And one of the greatest blessings is, unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. Go with me back to the Old Testament just a moment. Back up in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I want you to look at Psalm 18, verses 28 and 29. Psalm 18, verses 28 and 29. The Word of God here again now is talking about God sending light. And I want you to notice the wording. It's beautiful wording. Psalm 18, verses 28. I'll just read 28 and 29. Psalm 18, verse 28. Here's what David says in this psalm. Psalm 18, verse 28. This is also recorded in 2 Samuel. A little differently. I think this is the most beautiful way that it's worded. Psalm 18, verse 28. The Word of God says, "For thou," here's what David says now. David says, "For thou wilt light my candle." Now you think about that. Have you ever had God come light your candle? When do you need a candle? So you don't need a candle. I don't need a candle in this building tonight. We have other lights here. But if there was nothing but darkness here, if we were to have a storm and all the lights went out, we'd want some candles. We'd want some light from somewhere. And so here's what David says. He says, "Thou wilt light my candle, for the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Now, how could David declare God will enlighten my darkness? It's because David knew the truth that unto the upright there will arise light in darkness. That's the reason he could declare, God's going to bring light in my life. God is going to bring light in my life. You know, Job, I forgot about this, but it just came to my mind again. Job, did Job ever get any light in all that darkness he had? Yeah, he had a lot of darkness. In fact, one of the times in Job chapter 8, I think it is, I believe it's Job 8, the friend said to Job, "If you were living uprightly, you'd have some light in all this darkness." Well, now, where'd they come up with an idea like that? Because they knew that truth, that unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. And at that point in Job 8, Job didn't have any light at all. It was all darkness. And he said, and the friend said, "If you were living upright, God would send some light to you right now." Right now. That the word "now" is there. Listen, brethren, God doesn't send it just right now always. Sometimes you have to endure some darkness. But here's something that will happen. God will send the light. And in Job's life, though he went through a season where it was nothing but darkness, what finally came to Job, when you get to the end of the book of Job, what did God send? Oh, God sent the light then, didn't he?
He had to pray for his friends. That's something that was hard for him to do, I'm sure. But he prayed for his friends, and then the Scripture says that God gave Job twice as much as he had to begin with. What a marvelous day Job had when God finally sent the light. Finally sent the light. Go with me in closing to one other Scripture. If you will, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there's another Scripture that's on my heart that I'll mention while we're there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Word of God talks about dying and death. Now, you and I, unless Jesus comes beforehand, you and I are going to die. Everybody here needs to understand, you're going to die. And you don't need to be afraid of dying. Sometimes we think about death, and some people are scared to death. Scared, well, I don't know how to change that, but some people are really scared of dying. They're frightened to die. And other people are not afraid of death. What makes the difference? What do you think makes the difference? You know, here's what David... Well, listen, don't answer right now. I want to get to another point. In David, in Psalm 23, verse 4, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the what? The valley of the what? Shadow." Do you see the darkness there? "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for..." What did he have there? "Thou art with me." Now, if thou was with him, he had what? Light. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." If God's with me, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll have no fear at all to face death. And you know what I can then say? 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55, 56, and 57. I'll close right here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, he says, here's what Paul said. Now, was Paul a man that was upright? Did he have a lot of trouble? He wrote from prison most of the time. He was in dark prisons. Their prisons were quite a bit different than our prisons today. This idea of cruel and unusual punishment was not around back then. Paul was in a dark dungeon of a prison. Here's what he said. He says, "O death," 1 Corinthians 15:55, "O death, where is thy sting?" Isn't it wonderful to be so strong that you can just look Satan right in the eyeballs and say, "I'm not afraid of you one iota. I'm not afraid of you or anything you can do to me. I'm not afraid of death." The devil say, "I'm going to kill you." That's all right. I'm not afraid of death. And that's the way Paul was. He says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Isn't it good to be able to go to the graveside and laugh and say, "There's no victory here. The devil hasn't won. The grave hasn't won." Why? Because I know who has given us victory over death and victory over the grave. So Paul says, "I can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Son." I'm going to just... Now, that's not what it says, but do you see what I mean by saying through the Son? The light. He's called the capital S-O-N, the Son of Righteousness. It says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why you can face death? Not only your own death, but the death of loved ones, and have no fear. It's because you know that God is giving you light right then. Amen. Unto the upright, listen carefully, unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. And you're going to have dark times ahead. But listen, if you've been trying to live right, serve God, you're going to have light in the midst of your darkness. David made this statement in Psalm 30, verse 5. He says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but what? But joy cometh in the morning." Joy cometh in the morning. That's when the light comes. Now, at about 5:15 this afternoon, Teresa was reading the paper. And she read me something that, and I don't know that I've ever read. I'm not into reading other things. But I want you to listen to this. This confirmed to my heart this is what God would have me to preach tonight. I was having trouble knowing exactly what to preach. But this confirmed to my heart that this was what God would have me to preach. I want you to listen. It's in the Florida Times Union, the Georgia section. And Terry Dixon wrote this article about a young boy from Brunswick that was killed last Sunday, going back to Georgia of the University of Georgia. He was killed in a car wreck. He and his friend were in a car wreck. And this young man was an outstanding Christian. He wasn't killed because he was drinking and driving. He wasn't killed because of drugs. He was a very godly young man. And his parents are very godly people. You go home and read this article and you'll see what a godly man he was. But when his family was all together after this, this is last Sunday night, 1 week ago, right now, this time, all that family was brought to their knees because of the death of this young man, the mama and the daddy and the sister. Now, brethren, they were in the darkest time they've ever been in their lives. It could not get any darker than that. Did you know? It was as dark as it can get. But I want you to hear what the scriptures, I mean, what the paper said. It's important. It's pretty. The paper said that from the minute the family stepped inside their house, churches, not just their own church, wrapped this family in their arms. They brought food, a comforting touch, a soft word. Sometimes they just listened. Raleigh, that's the boy's sister, and Jacob's friends came by the house and provided what the adults could not. Now I want you to picture this mom and daddy grieving over the death of their son that night. And all these teenagers come into this house. He says their laughter, all these teenagers now, their laughter, their weird cell phone ring tones, and stories about Jacob sent waves of joy washing over Jacob's parents. But during a lull with no teenagers present, Michael's dad, Jack, said, "We need some kids in here. They bring light." You hear what he said? He had all those teenagers in there, and he said, after those teenagers had left, he said, "We need those kids back in here. We need my son's friends back in here. I want to hear them laugh some more, because they," you hear what the last statement he makes, "they bring light." Now, unless God blessed that mom and daddy, they couldn't even find light in those friends of their son. But he expressed what God's Word expresses, that in the time of darkness, God will send light to the upright. May God help us to live in an upright way, so that no matter what dark valley we have to go through, that God will send His light to help us in that darkness, is my prayer, for Christ's sake. Brother David, let me hear. 341. Well, as we stand as we sing number 341. Number 341. We'll stand as we sing, please. "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus has already saved you, full of pity, love and power. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty, glorify. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me
in His arms,
in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream.
Oh, of fitness
He requireth is to feel your need of Him. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
Again, I appreciate your presence and prayers, and I pray that God will bless His Word to our hearts, bless us to live uprightly so that we can have light in times of darkness. Amen. Anything else before we're dismissed?
Uncle Bill, I just like to thank God for the message and the truth of the message. And I just ask the church to help me feel the light in the middle of that darkness.
Everybody, please pray for Christy. It was it today, Christy, or?
Tomorrow.
It was 8 years ago tomorrow that her brother killed her daddy. And she needs your prayers. She needs to be able to feel the light. The anniversary of the times like this drag you down. And so all of you pray for Christy to be able to feel the light of God in this very difficult time. Brother Wendell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for sparing our lives today. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and the knowledge that you give us. Dear Lord, thank you for the message tonight. Help us to always be a light shining. Dear Lord, help us to never take credit or glory in that light. Help us always remember where the light comes from and who is the light. Dear Lord, please forgive us when we fail you. Help us to always make the right decisions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Brother Terry, I'm glad you came and ate with us. Brother Carthel,
brother,
love you.
Love you too.
I hope I'll be there Tuesday morning.
No, you
I did not know.